Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night here on a Wednesday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Short show today. We go up until 6:30, and then we bring you NCAA tournament action. The first four games, North Carolina Central and Texas Southern. That's the early game. Arizona State and Syracuse, that is the second game. And then we are off and running in the NCAA tournament, really tomorrow at noon. Let's get the housekeeping out of the way, but all kinds of important information. City Sports Grill tonight, 7:30 to 9:30. Arnie's on his way over there shortly. That's trivia night, as always. Don't be afraid of the bad weather. It is still on. Then, back at City Sports Grill tomorrow, we've got our all-day watch party, 12 to 9, noon to 9 p.m., Sam Adams specials. If you want to go for lunch, you want to go after work, you want to play hooky from work, you want to be there all day with us, we've got prizes, we've got specials. That's going to be a lot of fun. Friday, McGillicuddy's in Colchester, 4 until 6. So just during showtime of the huddle, 4 till 6, McGillicuddy's Colchester. Guinness beer will have specials getting you ready for St. Paddy's Day. And then Saturday, McGillicuddy's in Essex, 1 to 3. That is St. Patrick's Day. And McGillicuddy's Williston, 4 to 6, also with Guinness. So, and then you can join the 101.3 ESPN Bracket Challenge. You can find a direct link online at 101.3ESPN.com or on our Facebook page. Winner gets $101 in cash and a $200 Yipes North gift card. So you can do all of that. As for what's coming up on the show today, again, 6:30, then first four action. We'll talk with Ken Kreitz for part three of our fantasy baseball preview. We'll do that in about 5 minutes from now. And then an acknowledgement of UVM hoops that we have to make. But first, I saw this question asked on Twitter, and it really got me thinking. Are the New York Giants like the New York Knicks? And I think the answer is that right now, the answer is yes. And what do I mean by that? The New York Giants are like the New York Knicks, and that the New York Giants, they haven't drafted well. I've been telling you this for months. The New York Giants have not drafted well. They have failed to develop, to identify and correctly develop talent. Over the last decade, they have had multiple draft classes. They've hit on 1 to 2 players and sometimes 0 players. Okay, they hit well on Mario Manningham early. Odell Beckham Jr., Landon Collins, yes. Other than that, we think Evan Engram, we think they'll hit on. But over the last decade, the Giants have hit on, you know, roughly 1 to 2 players a draft, and that's sometimes even a stretch in some years. That reminds me a whole lot of the New York Knicks. Kristaps Porzingis and not a whole lot else for the Knicks. You know, Iman Shumpert, he didn't work out in New York. Tim Hardaway Jr. didn't work out in New York, and then they had to massively overpay him to get him back after he played well in Atlanta. And when you don't draft well, what does that force you to do? It forces you to massively overpay or massively reach in the free agent market. And look at the comparisons between the two. The Giants 2 years ago, Damon Harrison, Olivia Vernon, Janoris Jenkins. They massively had to pay in free agency, and the reason why is because they didn't draft well. They did not identify and select talent, so they didn't have young, affordable talent. They had to go out and just break the bank on established talent. And that is not what free agency is about in the NFL. Free agency is about supplementing your own young, controllable players with some veteran assets, not about remaking your entire roster through free agency. Too often, the team that wins free agency, it doesn't win in the season. The Giants won free agency 2 years ago. They did make the playoffs that year. That can't be looked past. They made the playoffs 2 years ago. But they, you know, last year when it hit the fan badly. Injuries, age, contracts. Now, as a result, they don't have a ton of money to spend. And now they continue to do the same thing. I like Nate Solder going to the Giants. I do think it was a necessary move. At $30 million guaranteed. Look, I'm no capologist. But they made the deal. I think it's the most important piece on that offensive line. It protects Eli Manning and maybe buys him a few more years in the league, or at least one good year, we hope. It would then maybe if Eli's gone in a few years, it protects a young quarterback. It's important to have left tackle solidified. Now the Giants have that. But when you just keep having to put Band-Aids on things in free agency because those Band-Aids are there to cover up your own ineptitude at developing talent, that's a scary position to be in year after year. Look at the Knicks. Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony. Big money deals. They needed that star power. But then look what else the Knicks have done. Because they don't draft well, that's why you see 2 years ago, Brandon Jennings, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah. I remember being on the air in Albany the days that the Knicks acquired Rose, Noah, and Jennings and saying this is going to go one of two ways. They're either going to have a Band-Aid and they're going to get to the playoffs in the similar way that Giants team did 2 years ago, or they are going to falter so badly and this is going to end so badly. The Knicks can't get rid of Joakim Noah fast enough and no one will take him. He's that injured. His contract is that egregious. 4 years, $72 million or whatever it was for Joakim Noah was ridiculous at the time, and it looks even worse now. Derrick Rose and Brandon Jennings barely lasted, a year there. Rose, I think, signed for a second year and didn't make it through that year. I mean, it's ridiculous what has happened with the Knicks. And why have the Knicks not only not won a finals, why have they not been to a finals since, 99 or whatever it is? They can't even get to the playoffs and be any kind of regular threat because they don't have any young, affordable players. They just keep hoping and hoping for free agency, and they keep getting left out in the cold by LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Paul George, and all these guys that hit the market. They keep getting left out in the dust by those guys, so then they have to overpay for once stars like Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. And then the Giants aren't quite that bad, because the NFL doesn't allow you to be quite that bad because of the salary cap. But the Giants have been trending in that direction. This draft for Dave Gettleman is the most important thing that he'll do. It is the most important thing that he'll do. Beyond signing Nate Solder, beyond re-signing Odell Beckham Jr., or letting Odell Beckham Jr. go, whatever that ends up being, this draft is the most important thing that Dave Gettleman will do in New York. This draft will probably define his legacy. Whatever legacy he has in New York is going to be defined by this draft. I've said this over and over and over again. The draft builds your team. Free agency supplements it. Look at what the Seahawks did. The Seahawks had a five-year run where they were one of the best franchises in all of football. The core foundational pieces of that team were built to the draft. Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, Baldwin was an undrafted free agent, but was built, was signed right after the draft. Right there, that's your team. That's your core. That's what Earl Thomas, that's what allowed you to be as good as you were for 5 years. Sustained success. And in the NFL, that's hard to do. And then you throw in Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill, Marshawn Lynch acquired through trade free agency. That's your core. That's your Super Bowl team 2 years in a row. Look at what Jacksonville is doing now. They have done it through the draft, some supplemental pieces in free agency and or trades. Look at what the Rams have to some degree. Look at what the Rams are doing. Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, and then it was Alec Ogletree, Robert Quinn. That was your core this year. Now you've gone outside that and you've brought in some pieces and you brought in Aqib Talib and you brought in Marcus Peters. I get that. But they accentuated their core and their young coach being part of that in Sean McVay. And they accentuated that in the trade market. They haven't even touched free agency right now. Brought in one big free agent offensive lineman last year. And that was it. The Rams built that thing through their core, came through the draft. A lot of the Eagles players came through the draft. Lane Johnson, some of those guys on the defensive side. I know about LeGarrette Blount, and I know about Jay Ajayi, and I know about Nick Foles in free agency, but Carson Wentz and some of that defensive front built through the draft. Dave Gettleman needs a home run draft where he gets four or five guys that turn out to be a foundational core moving forward. It's going to be the most important thing that he does. Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. All right, fantasy baseball time, everybody. Your drafts are approaching. Some of them are going to be this weekend, and we're trying to get you ready for it. For the third day in a row, as promised, we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line, and we find ourselves the K-Train, Ken Kreitz from RotoWire. We'll talk outfielders today. Ken, how are you?
I am great, Brady. Happy Wednesday. How you doing?
I appreciate you joining us, and I'm just so giddy here. Like I said, I have my fantasy baseball draft, my first one on Sunday. I've got two more now in about a week and a half that I'm looking forward to. I've got all three of my leagues now are keeper leagues, Ken. Are you a big fan of the keeper league, or do you like starting fresh every year?
I enjoy both. I mean, the keeper leagues are fun, especially if, you know, it's a good excuse to get to know your favorite team's AAA rosters a little better, your top prospects. I find that other people in my leagues get way too excited over the top prospects, so I kind of enjoy that as an excuse to follow the AAA squad of the Red Sox and other teams.
Well, speaking of the Red Sox, we're talking outfielders today, and let's start with Mookie Betts. I took him last year in the first round. I think I took him third overall in one league, and he had a fairly decent year overall, but it wasn't the runner-up MVP year he had in 2016. What do you think of Mookie?
We like Mookie for a bounce back. We've got him ranked 10th overall behind guys like Trey Turner, Max Scherzer, and Bryce Harper. Frankly, I would take Betts over Harper. I don't like Harper's injury history. You know, that's higher upside with Harper, but Betts and the 25 stolen bases, to me, are much more of a lock than Harper staying healthy all season. So, yeah, we've got Mookie 10th overall. That means we've got him, let's see, as our fifth outfielder. And we like him returning to, hopefully, you know, it's the batting average concerns that are there. But we think he'll be 288, 290. And if he's going to bat leadoff every day, he seems like a lock to score 100-plus runs.
Let's stick with the local regional teams of interest here. What do you think of J.D. Martinez? I think he's primed for a great year in Boston. What do you think?
Well, it all depends on can he stay healthy as a DH. He should, right? But the thing about when I look at J.D. Martinez is he's only had one season where he's played more than 120 games. So that worries me. We'll see if he can adjust to DH in that. You know, he's always been a position player. He's someone who should become a DH because his outfield defense is pretty poor. You know, it's nice that the Red Sox can afford basically to pay Hanley Ramirez and play J.D. Martinez a heck of a lot of money. You know, that Hanley Ramirez mistake is a mistake few organizations can make. But we have J.D. Martinez ranked sixth among outfielders. He does qualify at outfield because of all the games he played there, Detroit and Arizona last year. We got him right behind Mookie Betts. And we're looking at over 300 batting average, 40-plus home runs, and 100 RBIs. I mean, those are solid power numbers. I just hope he stays healthy.
And what do you think about on the Yankee side of things? A lot of attention to Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. Are they must-grab fantasy names, you know, round one?
Well, people are grabbing Stanton number two, number three in drafts. And frankly, I lump Stanton and Bryce Harper together. I'm all for taking risks in the later rounds. Like, for instance, I love taking a gamble on Jonathan Villar, the second baseman and occasional outfielder for the Brewers, because he's got 50 stolen base potential. But in my first round, I want locks. I want guys that are going to play 150-plus games. And Stanton is just like Harper with the injury history. You know, last year, everyone thinks that all his injury woes are suddenly behind him because he had one healthy season last year. I'm not one of those people. I'd rather have a Charlie Blackmon. Obviously, I think everyone would rather have Mike Trout. I'd rather have Mookie Betts, frankly, than gamble on Stanton or Harper staying healthy. And I am a little worried about Judge's back issues. Obviously, in keeper leagues, a guy as young as Aaron Judge, that's fantastic. We've got Judge ranked seventh. We've got Stanton ranked second of outfielders. You know what I've been telling my Red Sox fans? Those guys are amazing, but they don't pitch. That's what I think the Yankees need, but that's a bit of a side subject.
Ken Kreitz of RotoWire, the K-Train, helping us here all week long on Champlain Valley Game Night. Get you ready for your fantasy baseball drafts, which most of you probably have them coming up within the next week, week and a half or so. What do you look for in your outfielders, or how do you break down your outfielders? Because most leagues play with three. I'm in one league that actually plays with five outfielders. So you need a couple of guys who are probably power only. You need a couple of guys who are more speed only, like a Billy Hamilton type. How do you break down what you're looking for?
Well, and most of my leagues are the five outfielder situation. You need a balance of power and speed. It helps to have guys that qualify at some infield positions, like we were talking about Chris Taylor earlier this week. Reese Hoskins, you know, also qualifies at first. So I like some position flexibility for sure. But you're going to get, you know, you're going to get a mix of guys. You're going to get a power, slow producer like a Jay Bruce. And you just hope to back that up with a Whit Merrifield type who also qualifies at second base. So I've got Whit Merrifield on a lot of teams. He's in a weak Royals lineup, but he's going to get a heck of a lot of plate appearances. So someone like Merrifield, 15 home runs, 30 stolen bases, is certainly a possibility. If you compare him with Bruce, you know, you're just talking about a lot of players out there, and that's where you're going to have to get at least one stolen base person.
As a side note, how do you like to handle your bench? Because it's so frustrating to me when I've got five bench position players and I think to myself, man, I didn't play that guy and he just went 4-for-4. And then I think to myself, well, I'll just load up my bench with pitchers. And then I'm like, well, then I put in one of them and he gets shelled and my ERA is shot for the week. So how do you like to handle the bench?
Well, I do like to have a few extra starting pitchers so you can stream you know, your starting pitchers and your weekly lineup changes. We have a page on RotoWire where you can see this week's starters. So you can see, hey, is my starter pitching twice this week, for instance? Or is he pitching in Colorado, which I probably want to avoid? You know, so I always do get a few extra starting pitchers for the bench. And again, I love position flexibility, guys. Marwin Gonzalez in Houston is my favorite this year. 90 RBIs, and he plays everywhere but catcher and pitcher. That just gives you so much freedom, and if you are getting multiple position eligibility guys, you don't need that many position players on your bench. Now, a Logan Morrison on your bench, well, that's nice, but he's probably only going to play at first base, where hopefully you already have some talent. So it might seem appealing. Oh, there's a lot of power, but if you can't work him in, you can't work him in. Yeah, get some extra starting pitching, and also, frankly, starting pitching is crazy volatile. You know, look at Rick Porcello's last three seasons, right? You can't bank on getting four good starters and thinking you're set in your rotation. You've got to take some flyers on guys. And, you know, if you don't know your players that well, hey, stick to pitching ballparks. Stay to guys that are throwing in San Francisco or San Diego. Or I really like pitchers in the AL Central this year because you've got some really bad batting lineups in the AL Central.
Ken, back on the outfield, prospects are always a tricky thing in fantasy because you don't always want to waste a draft pick on guys that aren't coming up until September, but you also don't want to miss the boat on finding the next Cody Bellinger or something.
Right.
How about this number one prospect in Atlanta? Ronald Acuna is his name. He's the number one prospect in baseball. He took that over from Yoan Moncada. Is this a guy we should be drafting right away? Because he's going to come up this year and pretty quickly, we think.
Exactly. Don't overreact to Acuna going down to AAA. That is purely a contract control move. He'll be up in mid-April, the first day he possibly can, and playing every day. We love Acuna. We project him to hit .286, 14 homers, 54 RBIs, and 26 stolen bases. He's just got speed to burn. He's got crazy upside. No, get him now, and frankly, other people in your league are going to shy away from the fact that he's going to spend 2 weeks in AAA, but it is a long, long baseball season, and there are plenty of at-bats to get in that Braves lineup. I mean, they've been playing Nick Marcakis, you know, batting cleanup the last couple of years. It's crazy. They're finally ready to go young and really rebuild with some exciting young options in Atlanta.
Ken, we'll get you out of here on this. We don't have to go through all of these names. I'll just tell you, one of the things that I like this year is the idea of new guys in new places, and I think having a good year. I think Marcell Ozuna is going to have a great year in St. Louis. I think Christian Yelich in Milwaukee is going to have a very good year. I'm excited about both of them. And I like A.J. Pollock, who's still in Arizona, but remember, he was injured a lot 2 years ago. I like him back to form this year.
Yeah, we keep projecting Pollock as if he's going to be healthy. I don't know what, you know, we've got him playing 145 games. I think that's awfully optimistic. Pollock's a guy, though, if he stays healthy, he's going to steal 30 bags. We really like Yelich in Milwaukee. That's a team that likes to run, and he has the speed to do so. We're kind of on the assumption the Brewers are going to deal an outfielder, maybe Domingo Santana, because they need pitching, and they do have, you know, I think things will settle in Milwaukee because they want to get guys like Yelich into 150, 155 games. Yeah, we've got Yelich 12th. Really love Yelich. Hey, J.D. Martinez, you're talking about new guys and new faces. We expect some huge power numbers from Martinez.
Ken Kreitz, the K-Train of RotoWire on Wednesday, getting us ready for fantasy baseball drafts as he has every day this week and will continue to do so. Ken, I use the magazine religiously in my first draft. Where can other people get in on the RotoWire fun?
Please come to rotowire.com/free and try our custom rankings and auction values that are adjusted for the leagues of your rules.
Ken, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Brady. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Ken. There he goes. A couple minutes left here. I got a little ahead of myself. Ronald Acuña, the number 6 prospect in baseball, not number 1. But Gleyber Torres is in there. I'm very excited. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is number 4, but Acuña is number 6. But you want to take him anyways. Reminder, if you've been enjoying the fantasy baseball segment with Ken Kreitz, we will talk to him tomorrow and Friday, but those interviews will be online only since we're off the air. But we will still be producing interviews that we will put online over the course of the next 2 days. So Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN. Go up just another couple minutes here, then we bring you NCAA Tournament First Four action. I do have to give a thank you to the UVM men's basketball program, not just the team, but the program, because it is all-encompassing. And I went through and counted 16 different members of the program who joined us this year since October when we started our coverage of Catamount basketball all the way back at Media Day in October. So we extend a thank you to the players, to the coaching staff who joined us this year and helped take our coverage to the next level. So in no particular order of when they joined us, thank you to Trey Bell Haynes. Thank you to Anthony Lamb, Ernie Duncan, Cam Ward, Drew Urquhart, Peyton Henson, head coach John Becker, assistant coach Kyle Saplicki, graduate assistant coach Derek O'Grady, peak performance coach and strength and conditioning coordinator Mark Hickok, trainer Eugene Santos, Bernie Saplicki, former player and broadcaster, Tom Brennan, former head coach, current broadcaster Sam Hyman, sports information director Dustin Parker, and Alistair Ingram, also on the ESPN3 broadcast calls, and athletic director Jeff Shulman. So 17 in all when you throw in Jeff Shulman. We appreciate all of your time and being gracious, whether it was after a win, whether it was after a loss. We appreciate everybody who joined us and shared their perspective on the Cats. Off the air tomorrow. Enjoy the NCAA tournament. First Four action is next on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow morning on Golic and Wingo.
One of the most unproductive work days of the year. Come be unproductive.